The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Going to continue on our quest here of just diving in, taking the plunge into the love of God. And the question of the year is this: how great is the love? Amen? We believe that God wants our church to be a place where we know God's love reigns here, right? And as He was, preparing me for this course of study and teaching for the year, that's really going to be a huge question for us as a body and individually. It's just going to God every day. Father God, how great is Your love today? How great is Your love today for me? How great is Your love today for my family, for the church? And by doing that, we're not prodding Him. He's asking us to ask Him that, right? Lord, show me today. Show me how great Your love is today. Amen. And 1 John 3:1 says it this way: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen. And we talked about the definitions of the word great and the word lavished. Great meaning unusually large in size or dimensions. Praise God. So, how great is the love of the Father that He has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? That means that when I see that, I think that, a lot of people refer to God as the man upstairs, He really wants us to be personal with Him. Daddy, Abba Father. Amen? God is your Father, personally. Amen? So I've heard people say it like this: God does not have grandchildren. He has children. So, in other words, you're not having a relationship with God through somebody else's faith, that kind of thing. This is really what distinguishes Christianity from a lot of other faiths and religions, is that it's you and God one-on-one. It's not you coming to God through some other person, through a prophet or through a priest or through, your denomination or with the permission of this or that, That's not how it works. That's not how God has designed it. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. He knows you and He loves you. And He wants this one-on-one communion with you and with me. Now, I'm going to skip down to the verses here because we're just going to go right along with that word communion today. And because of, we spit at the clock, but we do have to keep moving. Amen. But how great is the love? Let's look at Romans 5. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, that's the best thing to do is just start praising God. When stuff looks bad or when you just don't feel saved or... just start praising God. Just turn on some praise music. Turn it on in yourself. And just start thanking and praise. Lord, I just praise You today. I feel rotten right now, but praise Your name. You are God. You are on the throne. You're my God. Just start building up who God is instead of how big and ugly that problem is. Amen? So here we go. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Makes me think of the title of one of Joyce Meyer's books, God is Not Mad at You. And I remember I was walking through a Walmart or something one time, and that just jumped out at me. I saw Joyce's face like this or something, and that God is not mad. How many people just avoid church like the plague because they think God doesn't like them? Yeah, that's a lie from hell. That's a lie from Satan. And Satan is a liar. Amen. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. In verse 5, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out. Now, when you think about pouring out, right, like when the football team that won the big game and they run up behind the coach with the Gatorade container. Is there any Gatorade left in that thing after it's poured out on the coach's head? Right? So we're talking about a God that poured out his love. In other words, he poured it all out. Not like there's, you know, some limit on it, but the point there is he loves you. There's no way he could love you more than he does right now. Amen? So it's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So you can almost look at the Holy Spirit like the funnel, right? And when you put oil in the car, and if you don't want the oil to spill out all over the, you know, the insides of the car, you put a funnel in there. So the Spirit of God is like the funnel, and God's love comes down on us, and we receive that love through the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our lives, right? It's a beautiful thing. So keep that funnel in, right? Through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. You know, I think the Lord wants us to move on from there. So we're gonna jump over to Genesis 3 now, okay? Genesis 3, verses 1 through 15. Somebody say, I receive the love. I receive the love of God. I receive all. Somebody say, I receive all the love. Amen. See, some folks are comfortable with the salvation love, but, you know, he healed you too, right? Some people are comfortable with the joy. I'll receive the joy, but, you know, I don't think he really cares much about my bank account. Well, no, there's a prosperity side of God, right? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. These are all manifestations of the love of God. And when he says he poured it all out, it means it's all there. All of him is there for us. It's like when I told Shelly I do, it's like I share this sometimes with my friends who are not married sometimes. It's like, you know what? I agree with you. It's great to be married. But brother, let me tell you. You know that scripture that says your life is not your own? You get a whole new revelation of that when you say I do at the altar. And then once you have kids, you even get a deeper revelation that my life is not my own, right? God poured himself out, put himself at our disposal, literally. Even now, the marriage relationship is, there's not really a closer, you know, in terms of oneness on this planet that's, you know, between human to human that's possible. But with God, it's even deeper than that, right? It's spirit to spirit. It's on the inside of you, you know. And he poured, there's nothing, he gave completely of himself. It's like Shelley and I, we gave ourselves completely to one another. Right? So if she comes to me and says, you know, I'd like to get a new dress. Yeah. Right? You're like yesterday. You know, that hose bib has been leaking now for a long time. So guess what? It's Saturday. I'm going to get to work on that because my life is not my own. I have been poured out, and the water is pouring out of the side of the house, right? Now, I couldn't fix it, but I tried. Right? And I know who we can call that will come and fix it. But the point there is that we are one. We don't have these separate lives. I feel, you know, kind of sorry for when I hear of, you know, there's sometimes married people will like have their own lives going, you know, and it's like, you know what? Be one. When the time comes for us to have our own building, you know, I don't want to have my own office and she has her own office. I want it to be our office. You know, there's oneness there. When we don't have like separate bank accounts, that kind of stuff, you know, we're one. And with God, it's even more close and more intimate than that. We are one with the Father. He has poured out his love. But look here. We talked about, you know, going back in history and looking at some old things. Well, it's hard to get much farther back than this, but Genesis chapter 3. This is back in the garden. This is where it's important to go back to where the communion was broken, right? Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Right? You ever hear somebody saying that to their kids? You touch that, you die. Right? Well, God literally meant, you touch that, you're going to die. Right? This was Adam and Eve's tithe. It didn't mean this tree had some crazy mystical power about it. It was just God saying, this part of the garden, this tree, is mine. You have plenty of other trees. But this is basically, it was their tithe. This is God's tree. Do not touch God's tree or you die, right? Amen? "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her." So see, Adam wasn't like Adam was down a couple rows down. He was right there with her. Instead of manning up and saying, "Oh, no, 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 honey. No." He liked that woman. He was like, "Yeah, whatever she eat, I'm going to eat. I'm going to do what she says to do." And, you know. So the woman saw the fruit was good, desirable, ate it, gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So see, they must have had this beautiful relationship with God. You know, oh, it's getting toward the cool of the day. God's going to come hang out with us. Let's hide, right? So here he comes. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you? Adam, where are you?" Right? Amen? Like he didn't know, right? He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, Now we're starting to pass the buck thing here, right? The man said, "This woman that..." Now, he's not blaming this Eve. He's blaming God. if you notice here, right? This woman that you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Yeah, I'm admitting what I did, but asterisk, right? And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent, now she's passing the buck on to the serpent, right? The serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Amen. So you can see right there, that's really the first what we would call a messianic prophecy. This is the first place he says, there's a problem here, but I'm going to fix it. Right? Not like God was surprised by all of this. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. So God easily could have said, there's enmity, division, strife between you and me, humanity. But no, he said between Satan and you. Right? That's where the enmity is. And God was going to fix the problem, the sin problem. What did he say? He's going to crush your head and you'll strike his heel. We're talking about Jesus coming and crushing the head of the devil. And of course, he died, so like striking his heel, you know. So the love of God has been poured out. But this is where the problem began, right here. This is where the separation began. And God's will has never been to be separated from his people. Never, right? Look at Leviticus 16. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. Right? Now, how many people, that's the picture they have of God? If I approach God, I'm going to die, right? So we're talking here about an event that apparently happened that way. So the two sons of Aaron died when they approached the Lord. And the Lord told Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover, right? So the problem continues here. There's still a separation. God has made a way for the high priest to come in and offer sacrifices, but he's saying, you know what? You don't just come in however you want to come in, or you will die. Do not come behind the curtain into the holy place. Now, skipping forward, this is the chapter that got cut off. I believe it's Matthew 27, but I'll just tell you about it also for the sake of time a little bit here. But skipping forward to the death of Jesus, it says, you know, in the Bible, yeah, anytime, Don, thanks. It says in the Bible that when Jesus died, before he died, what did he say? He said, Father God, forgive them. They know not what they do. He also cried out and said, Father God, why have you forsaken me? So he was taking all of that separation on himself at that moment. All of the wrath of God, all of the, you know, everything that keeps people away from God now in their minds, he took that on himself at that very moment. And it says what? There was an earthquake. There was, you know, the thunder and lightning came and so forth. But one very distinct thing it says was that in the temple, the curtain was torn in two. Right down the center of that, where God said, if you go past this point, you are going to die. In fact, even, you know, going back to the Garden of Eden, God put an angel at the entrance of the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve were kicked out. Said, if you come back this way, you will die. Right? So God's plan has always been to have oneness with his family. That's the power of what Jesus did on the cross right there. Is that veil, that curtain, literally, it says, if you read it, I think it's Matthew 27, and it says that curtain was torn in two, right down the center. And what that was God coming out of that room and coming to be with his family. Amen. Right? All that love that God had for his people was poured out that day when the blood of Jesus literally was pouring out all over the ground, right? The love of God came bursting out from behind that curtain to be with his people, which you and I are, right? Remember that verse? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. That is who we are. Amen? When you hear verses like, we're going to go back to Romans 5 as we close again, but when you hear verses like, and I heard this taught recently, and I think it was Keith Moore that was saying this, or Kenneth Copeland, or one of those two guys, but Jesus is, you know, we've heard it said, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And one of those guys was teaching, and he was like, who do you think he's talking about when he says King of Kings, Lord of Lords? And I was thinking of presidents and kings and rulers of this world. Well, how many know a lot of those rulers and kings and of this world do not worship Jesus? He is not their king. Amen? He's talking about us. When he says, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he's talking about you and me. That's how our God sees us. Amen. So he literally lifted us up off of that terrible place where we were, the separation. Jesus took it all on himself. He took being forsaken by God. He took the punishment of every sin. And the Lord told me this recently too, you know, because you get to feeling bad if you miss it. And he was talking to me and he's like, you're acting like you've sinned all of sin. He's like, son, there's nobody in this world that has sinned all of sin. You can think of the worst possible, most vile sinner that's ever lived in the history of this planet. That guy did not sin your sin. But Jesus took all of it on himself at the same time and nailed it to the cross once and for all. That means the most vile, horrible creature we could ever imagine, if they confess Jesus and get saved on their deathbed, that is removed from their life. That's the God we serve. So in other words, there's no reason for us to stay at arm's length away from God. He has welcomed us back into his family. Now, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, going back to Romans 5 as we close here, verses 1 through 11, let's continue where we stopped there. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Somebody say, through Jesus. Amen. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God. Remember, I think of that scripture that says, God is love. So we boast in love. Capital L. Because he is love, right? Why do you think you ought to be so blessed? Because I'm loved. Why are you driving that nice car? Because I'm loved. Why are you living in that nice house? Because I'm loved. Why should God build you a big, fancy, awesome church? Because he loves me. And he loves his people. There are no more reason needed than that, right? Why do you think you should get a miracle in your body? Because God loves me. And you ain't talking me out of it. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let Aunt Susie talk you out of it. I have an Aunt Sue. We're talking about Aunt Sue. I love my Aunt Sue. Fictitious Aunt Susie, right? Don't let anybody talk you out of the love of God. Amen. Not only this, but we also boast in God. We boast in love through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. And we're talking, remember, like seeing the funnel, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to receive the love of God, to receive the miracle of God, to receive the faith that we need, right? Amen. And the word reconciled there means to restore to communion. Amen. So we saw where the communion was broken. We advanced a couple thousand years and saw how that was playing out. Don't just come to me whenever you want. Well, guess what? Now you can come to him whenever you want. The door is open. In fact, he's right on the inside of you. When we look for God, we got to stop looking for signs outside because he's on the inside, right? God is on the love of God is on the inside of us. So we don't have to be looking for all these, you know, well, Lord, if 13 green cars pass by heading north, then I will know that that was you.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.